The book of Hebrews. We'll start at chapter number 3. Got a couple of scriptures this morning, so you definitely want to be able to turn and get them while I call them out, okay? Now, as we have been going over the different examples over the past couple of weeks, so you can see what impact belief has on you receiving anything from Jesus. The enemy, he fights so hard against us in terms of our faith. He wants you to believe in everything other than Jesus. And if he can accomplish that, he knows it will hinder you from receiving anything from the Lord. Lord can't do anything with you if you do not believe in him. As according to Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 6, it says, but without faith is what? Impossible. And the devil knows that. Satan understands that. It's impossible to please Jesus, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those that do what? Diligently. That's right. So the enemy wants to prevent you and I from doing that. He does not want us to receive the rewards that Jesus has laid out and stored for those that believe or trust in him. Okay? So this morning, let's look at Hebrews chapter number 3. And we're going to start at verse number 7. Says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, meaning they're always doing sin. And they have not known my ways. So, in verse number 11, he said, I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief, right? In departing from the living God. So, just looking at just that verse, number 12. We have to understand, again, when you are seeking to receive something from Jesus, whatever it is, whether it's a prayer, a request that you're desiring the Lord to answer, whether it's healing, whether it's a Jesus making a way for you, whether it is receiving the Holy Ghost, especially for those that are yet tarrying for the Holy Ghost. When you are seeking to receive something from Jesus, you must understand the importance of believing Jesus first. You have to, when we're talking about believing Jesus, we're talking about trusting Jesus, making sure that your life, the choices that you make in life, they are aligned with Jesus, his way, his will, that it is in his plan for you. You know, you can't just be roguish. You just can't go do what you want to do and then expect to receive from Jesus. And that's really the attitude of people. People want to do things the way they want to do it, and then they want to turn to the Lord and ask the Lord to do X, Y, and Z. And it doesn't work that way. That is not how faith operates. Faith is you trusting Jesus before you start to receive anything from the Lord. You think about how faith is defined in Hebrews 11 and 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not. So before you even see that thing come into fruition, you have to show Jesus that you trust him, that you are willing to take him at his word, that you are willing to lean on what he says, not on what it looks like, not on what you feel. You can't lean on your emotions at the time. Sometimes emotions are up, sometimes they're down. That's not faith. That's not you trusting Jesus. You have to trust the Lord when things don't even seem like it's going to work out. You still have to say, Jesus, you said this in your word. No matter what it looks like, I'm going to stand and depend and lean on what you said in your word. I'm going to rely on that. And that's hard work. That's not something that's is easy to do, because you have so much, especially by us living in this information-driven society, you have so much information coming at you all the time. You have so much news feeding your mind all of the time. You think about the concepts even with this virus. We do what we're supposed to do in terms of, but when you come into churches that say, there, we just trust the Lord in that respect. And I thank the Lord. The Lord has blessed us. He has kept us. I find no failure, no fault in Jesus. He has done everything that he has said he was going to do. But even in that, you think about how if you listen to the temperament of the world will have you feeling positive one minute. Things are getting so much better, so much better. And it's as though they snatch that hope right away from you. And Jesus is teaching us that you really cannot trust in what people say. You can't put your hope and your confidence in what people say. This thing about this virus, it is an unseen thing. It's not something that you and I don't care what you do. Even when people tell you, say, well, just get vaccinated to protect you. And then you hear people get the vaccine and they still catch the virus. You say to yourself, that thing will play on your mind. It'll mess your thinking up. You say, well, what should I do? What you should have been doing from the very beginning. You should have been putting your trust in Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can protect you and I from things both seen and unseen. Scripture said that blood of Jesus, you think about the Lord says he will not allow the death angel to come in you. In other words, death won't come to you faster. In other words, you will live out the allotted time that Jesus has for you. You realize and you're trusting Jesus. He is the one that has appointed your bounds. You cannot go beyond what the Lord has allotted to your life. In other words, you when you trust the Lord, you say, Jesus is the one that have established when I'm going to leave here. He's established when I'm going to leave, how I'm going to leave. That is already in his plan. And I understand that. I trust that. I believe that. I don't care what people say, well, if you do this, if you do that, you take this, you'll take that. Well, all of those things may make you feel good for the moment. But at the end of the day, when the Lord says your time is up, Job say, when he calls, you are going to answer. I don't care how healthy you are. I don't care how much you work out. I don't care how unhealthy you are. I don't care how overweight or anything else like that you are. When the Lord calls, you are getting out of here. But the question is, when he calls, where will you be at? Where will your soul be at when Jesus calls you? And that's what the enemy does not want you and I to pay attention to. He wants you to pay attention to things that have nothing to do with your soul. And this is what Israel was so caught up in. In this particular passage of scripture, this is making reference to Israel's deliverance out of the Egyptian bondage. Mm-hmm. Jesus showed them many signs and wonders just to show them what it costs in order to be delivered when sin has a hold on you. Right. People look at it and say, why did the Lord allow them to go through all those many different plagues in the land? And then the last plague being the death of the firstborn. And Jesus proved to them that he would protect them. Even in the midst of all of those plagues, and even in the midst of the judgment of the death of the firstborn, what did he show them? The power or the significance of being up under the blood. That's true. Say, when he sees that blood, scripture says that he will pass over you. He will not bring you and I into condemnation. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are what? In Christ. Condemnation is sin judgment. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You have to be concerned about your performance when you're in that position. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Lord's Spirit. We must be concerned about what we do when we are up under the blood of Jesus. We just can't say, oh, I'm up under the blood of Jesus. I can live and do what I want to do. No. The Lord is concerned about your performance.
What are you doing? You think about the night that the Lord told them to put that blood up on the side of the door and on the upper post? He gave them specific things to regulate their performance. They had to eat with a staff in their hand. They had to stand there. You know, they had to consume only a certain amount. And whatever was not consumed, they had to get rid of it. He was concerned about their performance. So it's the same way with you and I. He says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus up under the blood. But then also, what are you doing up under the blood? Who walk not after the flesh. That's the truth, saints. We can't be focused on things that are fleshly. We can't be driven by the things that are of the flesh. That's the truth, saints. But we must be focused on things that will help us to get a deeper connection with the Lord Jesus. You don't want anything to jeopardize your faith. Huh? That's the truth. You think about this stuff that has gone on this year and over the past 2 years. It has done nothing more than attack your faith. It doesn't want you to trust in Jesus. It doesn't want you to depend on the Lord Jesus. It wants you to go based upon what this report says and that report says. And again, I'm not devaluing it, but I am trying to tell you it has no place with Jesus. When it comes down to the word of God, his word stands alone. It does not need any help from man. The Lord says that when you do those kind of things, you are provoking him. You are tempting him. You're trying to put him on the same level as a researcher. You're trying to put him on the same level as someone that specializes in diseases and things of that nature. Jesus said there is no comparison with him. He said, I am the healer. That's the truth. The Lord says, I am the healer. And he has sanctified us by his name. When he talks to us in Chronicles and says, if my people, which are called by my name, if we do our part. What is our part? Humble ourselves and do what? Pray. That is our greatest remedy. In the times of attack, in the times of testing, in the times of trial, our greatest remedy, our greatest solution is prayer, right? That's the truth. Got to pray your way through these things. Got to talk to Jesus. Got to put yourself in a position to talk to Jesus. The scripture says that you humble yourself and pray. Seek the Lord's face. Do what else? Turn from your wicked ways. Huh? That's what the scripture says. That saints ought to always be engaging in repentance. Lord Jesus, if there's anything inside of me, if there's any thought, any way that is not like you, Jesus, just can't pacify that thing and say it's okay. That thing is separating me from Jesus. Scripture says that the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save you. His ear is not heavy that he does not hear you. What are you talking about hear you? Praying. When you're down there praying, you're talking to Jesus. And the writer says, his ear is not heavy that he doesn't hear you. But what's the problem? Your sin. Your sin stands as a wedge between you and your salvation. Therefore, you must always engage in repentance. Lord Jesus, you see anything in me that's not right. Take that thing away from me. Lest I cause myself to be in a bondage I don't have to be in, right? That's the truth.
Yes, yes.
You're expecting the Lord to deliver you, but you got to do some soul searching.
Jesus.
You got to ask the Lord to remove this stuff. Yes. Huh? Yes. What stuff? Mm-hmm. According to this lesson today, mm-hmm. that unbelief,
yes.
That attitude, that mind frame, those ways that are not showing Jesus, I trust you.
Right.
Huh?
Yes.
Come on, saints. Yes. It's the truth. You got to show the Lord, mm-hmm. Jesus, I trust you. I'm willing to take you at your word. Huh? Come on, look at Peter. Peter said it. Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And Jesus told him, come. Huh? Peter started walking on the water. He defied the laws of gravity. All because he did what? Trusted in Jesus. He believed in Jesus. But the scripture says when the wind started blowing and the storm, he took his eyes off of Jesus. He went away from trusting Jesus to paying attention to the stuff that was around him. And you and I can be sidetracked the same kind of way. If we're not careful, we will get caught up in the things that are around us. And instead of us talking with confidence that I trust you, Jesus, I'm learning to lean and depend on your word. I'm going to take you at your word, Jesus. So much so that regardless of how, sometimes faith does not make sense. It doesn't make sense to your mind. But you've got to be willing to trust in what Jesus says, right? That's what truth says. You cannot lean to your own understanding.
Thank you.
You can't seek to grow or establish faith outside of Jesus. Huh? Faith cometh by hearing. Huh? And hearing the word of God. Huh? Come on, that's the only way faith comes. You need to hear what thus saith the Lord. Huh? Oh yeah, saints, that's the truth. Sometimes we turn them televisions on and we listen to people all around us, and we need to make sure we separate that from the word of God. What does Jesus say in his word? Huh? Come on, what does Jesus say in his word? And that's what Israel's problem was. They started listening to the murmuring. They started listening to the complaining. And that stuff messed up their mind. Huh? Said that he, the Lord, brought you out of bondage. And you're walking around in the desert. But you are forgetting what Jesus brought you out of. Egypt represented death. Huh? The desert didn't represent death. The desert represented freedom. Huh? Yes, it was hot. Yes, they may not have had food. Yes, they may not have had drink, but they were free. Huh? They were free. Yeah, the enemy tried to mess your mind up. And you let the devil fool you. And you mess around and say within yourself, it'd be better for me to go on back into Egypt. It'd be better for me to go on back in there and die in Pharaoh's house. Instead of showing the Lord, I appreciate the freedom that you have brought me into. No matter how long I've journeyed in this thing called life, I appreciate the freedom that you have brought me into. But I'm trying to tell you, I am putting you on warning that there will be those that do not like the freedom. There will be those that try to get in your ear to murmur and whisper all kinds of things against Jesus, the God that brought you out. See, Moses took their complaints personal. But Moses did not realize it was not him that did it. Jesus said, it's not you that they are rejecting, but it is me, right? They're rejecting Jesus. Moses had a problem removing himself from all of the murmuring and complaining. He felt that the people were coming against him. But really what they were doing was provoking Jesus. Huh? As Jesus said that, he said, the day of provocation, when your fathers tempted me. They didn't tempt Moses. They were arguing at Moses. Come on, think about that thing. They were fussing and complaining about what Moses did. Huh? But Jesus said, no. Moses ain't got nothing to do with your deliverance. He was just a tool. You're tempting me. I am the one that saved you from out of your house of bondage, right? Come on, saints. Jesus is the one that brought you and I out of that life of sin. He gets all of the credit, right? He gets all of it. You say, oh, but such and such preached to me. Such and such worked with me. So what the church of Corinth was struggling with. Say, oh, no. Paul said, no, you're not understanding how faith works. One man plants, another man waters. But Jesus is the one that gives the increase. Huh? Come on. One man gives you the word. And that word is doing nothing more than putting a seed inside of you. And then the Lord will allow someone else to come by and water that seed. But it is up to Jesus to cause that seed to grow. In other words, you got to move yourself out of the way and say, Lord Jesus, I need you to grow inside of me. I need you to establish the word in me, and I need you to let that word grow inside of me, right? That's true. You can't do that on your own. Someone, let's go get a couple of scriptures. Look at Psalms 62 and 8. That's one. Psalms 62 and 10. Proverbs 3 and 5.
Psalms 62 and 8.
Yes.
Trust in him at all times.
Huh? How should I be trusting in Jesus? Come on, are we doing that, saints? Are we learning to trust in Jesus at all times? Huh? Say, Elder Scudder, but you don't understand. You don't see what's going on. It's getting worse. I'm trying to tell you, you better trust in Jesus. Huh? Out of Scudder, you don't understand. I heard gunshots outside of my window last night. I can't come to church because it's too dangerous out there. You better learn to trust in Jesus. Huh? Come on, the book say at what? Trust in Jesus when? Not sometimes, but all the time. Even when you own your job, you got to trust in Jesus. Huh? Do y'all do that? When work starts to pile up on you, people start to be disgruntled and complain. Are you finding yourself caught up in the mix? Are you finding yourself joining all in with the murmuring and the complaining? Are you stealing away to yourself? Are you pulling yourself? Are you sanctifying yourself? And you're saying, this is the time that I need to trust in the Lord. Huh? Come on, the Lord told you to trust in Him at all times, right? That's the truth. When people say, when the doctors, huh? Jones said that this week, doctors make you wait. Huh? You've been in there. I've been in there. I didn't handle it like Jones did. Jones stayed there. I walked out. And the doctor was standing outside the door talking. And I walked on out. I walked out the doctor's office. And he said, what's this? I said, man, I'm done with you. I'm not coming back to you. You're getting my business no more. He said, oh, but I'm coming right in. I said, no. You can't come in now. You told me to be here on time, and I was on time. So therefore, I am leaving. Huh? Now, if Jones didn't do that, he had every right to do it. So he said, the appointment was at 1:30. They didn't come in till 4. But imagine if Jones would have got up out of there and walked on out of there. He wouldn't have heard the good news. Huh? What was the good news? That lady said, I already knew about you before you got here. I had all of your stuff lined out already. And what is the good news? You ain't got to come back to me no more. Huh? Now, what if he would have went home all down and bad about an appointment? He would have missed that good news. See, you got to learn to trust in Jesus, not sometimes, but all the time, right? According to the scripture. Say, trust in the Lord when?
At all times.
Yes. Huh? What do we need to do? Come on, that's prayer. See, the devil be trying to get you and I to stop praying. That devil don't want you and I to pray. That's why I tell folk all the times, I'm concerned. All of these places that are supposed to be households of faith, they got a whole lot of preaching, whole lot of revivals, whole lot of Bible study, whole lot of workshops, but no prayer. How can you call yourself a church and you're not praying? When Jesus said, men ought always to pray. Lord said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. In other words, a place for you and I to communicate with Jesus. Huh? And if you notice, people are okay with everything that the church does. But when it comes down to prayer, people lose interest. Huh? There seems to be a loss of passion. There seems to be a loss of appetite. Huh? People get tired. Huh? People complain about what's going on in their bodies. People complain about what they got to do on tomorrow. But you're missing out the big picture. Now's the time for you to humble yourself. Huh? Now is the time for you to humble yourself and do what? Pray. Huh? Seek the Lord's face, right? Pray. Call out to Jesus. Huh? Call out to the Lord. Huh? Lord don't need your long, drawn out words. Huh? He don't need your fancy speech. Huh? No, he doesn't. He doesn't need your fancy speech. He doesn't need your written out thoughts. Lord said, the only thing, way you're going to get something out of heaven is you've got to use my name. Huh? The simplicity of a desperate sinner's prayer. Huh? The simplicity of a desperate person in the time of need. Huh? Come on. I'm sure when they left from Jesus after he was taken up from them, they went into that upper room and they tried to use their methods of talking to the Creator. I'm sure they did it. I know they did it. And I know they struggled with it for 9 days. Sitting up there trying to talk to Jesus and saying this and saying that. But it did not move heaven. It did not move heaven. On that 10th day, it was a little bit different. Scripture says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one place, all on one accord. In what? Prayer and supplication. What were they doing different? According to Peter, they were calling on Jesus that day. Huh? That day they simply said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Huh? And all of a sudden, there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled them, right? Simply because they were invoking the name of Jesus. And when that power hit them, folk on the outside said, these folk are drunk. Peter said, these ain't drunk like you think about drunk. Yeah, they are out of control, but liquor ain't got nothing to do with it. They are under the influence, but grapes have nothing to do with it. This is Joel's prophecy fulfilled. What was Joel's prophecy? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, they will be delivered, right? Paul picked up that same message. Said the Lord is rich unto all them that do what call upon him. Call upon who? Jesus. The simplicity of a prayer life. Learning how to humble yourself and just get on your knees and call Jesus. Say what? I just got to, but I need to tell the Lord I'm sick. No. You need to tell the Lord his name. You need to give the Lord his name. Jesus took the time to give you a name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Which is above every name. At the name of Jesus. In other words, whatever you need, it's at that name, right? Whatever you and I need, it is at that name. It ain't in another. It's at that name, right? I just learned to do what? Humble myself. Get out of myself. And according to the scripture, trust the Lord. That word trust means to rely, to lean on Jesus, to depend on Jesus. Trust the Lord at all times. And then the writer said, do what? Pour out your heart. You mean to tell the Lord the issues of your heart. And use his name to do it. Use his name to tell him what's going on inside of you, right? Use his name to tell Jesus what's going on inside of you. Oh, yeah, so when you're in pain, you ain't got to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm in pain. We ain't got to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm sick. Lord said, just use his name. Let his name come out of your mouth in desperation. Let his name fill your pain. Say, how much pain are you in? You ain't gonna say, Jesus. Now you know. No, no, no. Lord said, you ain't really in no pain then. When you really in it, you say it like you mean it. You say, Jesus. You say Jesus. And sometimes tears come out, but you don't stop calling his name. Why? Because you realize everything you need out of heaven is coming because of the name, right? It's coming because of the name. It's not coming because of what you're saying. It's coming because of the name, right? That name is the access. That name is the key, right? Come on, that's the truth, say. Pour out your heart. Ain't that something? Don't pour out your heart before me. Pour out your heart before Jesus. Realizing when you're calling on his name, he is right there. He doesn't have to come from nowhere. He is right there. He is omnipresent. In other words, he is in all places. At all. Do you realize? Sister over here can be saying Jesus. And he's right there. Mother could be over here saying Jesus. And the same God is right there. All you got to do according to the scripture is pour out your heart. Is that what the book says? Book says, trust in the Lord at all times. And you people, pour out your heart. Before who? What is Jesus? That word refuge means he is your escape. Huh? He is your hiding place. Huh? That devil come attack you like that. The Lord say, I am your refuge. I am your hiding place. And I ain't talking about the Lord removing you from out of the battle. It means the Lord say, I'm going to come down and stand. While the enemy is attacking you, I ain't going to make you run. I ain't taking you out the battle. Lord said, I'm going to come down there and stand. I'm going to be your refuge. Just like that 9-foot man was outside of Joshua's tent. Joshua said, whose side are you on? Lord said, I ain't on nobody's side. I am the captain of salvation, right? I am the captain of salvation. I'm trying to tell y'all the God that we serve. Y'all understand this? I told you all from day one, the Lord has protected us. Doing this whole thing, all this virus, it's as though that 9-foot captain has stood right there in front of it. And he has done what he has safeguarded us. It ain't because of me. No. It's all because I chose to lean not to my own understanding. I didn't go trying to figure out how to protect myself from an unseen enemy. You the fool. You trying to protect yourself from an unseen enemy. And the only one that can see him is Jesus. He's the only one that can protect you from that thing, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
He's the only one. He's the only one that can stay back the enemy. That's the true saint. He's the only one that can see the death angel coming on down the street. He's the only one that can stand in front of your door and say, no.
Thank you.
Not this house.
Yes.
He's the only one that can do that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on. Give me 62 and 10. What did you read? Read 9. Because we already read 9 now. What are we? Isn't that the truth?
Yep.
Men of low degree are what? We're vanity.
Yep.
And what does the rest of it say?
High.
Here you go thinking these people are better than you because they went to this school. Because they make this amount of money. The Lord says they are what? They are alive. Come on, isn't that something? That mean to tell me, Lord Jesus, you can't even pay attention to them quote unquote scientists on the television. Why? Because they're doing the best they can for what they have. They're trying to figure out an unseen enemy. They're trying to figure out death. And they're trying to prevent you from getting death. But Jesus said, can't nobody stop you from getting death? I am the resurrection. I am the life. Do you believe that? I believe it. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, right? I believe that. I believe Jesus stood at Lazarus' tomb. I believe Lazarus was dead according to human understanding. I believe Lazarus was dead a couple of days according to human understanding. I believe Lazarus' heart stopped beating. I believe Lazarus had no more breath in his lungs. But I believe that when Jesus called Lazarus by his name, he started all the organs back up again. That brother didn't try to figure it out. Scripture, he came out the grave hopping. He didn't have to go through no therapy. His body didn't have to figure out how to walk again. Why? Because the life giver spoke to him, right? The life giver. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, right? Do you believe that? I believe it. I believe all of these folk are liars. I believe they speak lies. They don't speak truth. How you know they don't? Because they don't know truth. Jesus said, you know the truth. You know it. You know the truth. You know a vaccine will never be able to cure you. You know, man's medicines will never be able to protect you. Huh? Amen. Oh, yes, amen. I don't care what you do, you will never be able to be protected from a devil that is after your life. Only one that can protect you is Jesus. Huh? He says, I am your refuge, right? Huh? Lord says, I am your strong tower.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
I am your refuge.
Yeah.
I am your strength. I am a very what? Present.
Yeah.
Do you believe that? I believe it. Lord is a very present help. I've had people come and you know, I'm sitting in my office and they get the coughing. No mess. I said, oh. As soon as they leave, I get to pray. Say, Jesus.
Jesus,
please, Lord Jesus. Huh? Oh, yeah. See, I was going to, why you do that? Because I know. I'm trying to tell you the power of the Lord.
Yeah.
When this thing first started, I was in my supervisor's office. And we was just there, all of them. He had closed the door and had a meeting with 15 of us in this old small cramped office. Talking down, laughing, touching, ha, ha, he. Next day, he was in the middle of the floor, stretched out. They didn't know what was wrong with him. They had ran all kind of tests. Then they come to find out, they put him behind all this plastic. They couldn't even talk to him. Then they were scared to let us know what was wrong with him. Because they realized they messed up. Huh?
Yeah.
Government told you could keep on going to work, and they knew how contagious this thing was. Huh? But they didn't want to stop operation. Huh? They didn't want to stop business as usual. They did not want to cause frantic. Huh? And all of a sudden, come find out. Now, you're supposed to be out for 15 days. They call me on day 14 or 13 to tell me I need to quarantine for 2 more days. Does that even make sense? What I need to quarantine for? Because this fella had the virus. And you all were in the same room with him. I'm trying to tell you the blood of Jesus. I'm trying to tell you the blood will protect you from danger seen. That's just my belief, saints. I know the power of Jesus. I'm not guessing. I'm not wondering. I know what Jesus is able to do for you. I know what the Lord is able to do for you. Because according to their information, I should have it. How are you talking about scared you should have it? Because according to them, all you got to do is be in somebody's face and talking. And the man was in my face talking, breathing all in me, touching me. Appreciate all the work y'all doing. Y'all so crazy. Touch. We all just sit up and So I should have it, according to the wise man. Huh? The man of what? High degree. Huh? But the man of high degree is only talking what he knows. He does not know Jesus. Huh? I'm sorry, he just don't know Jesus. He doesn't know truth. He don't know no truth. Mess around, you done mess around, change your whole life on a lie. Huh? Oh yeah, you be basing your whole life on a lie. Huh? Isn't that something? Folks went and bought all the Lysol. Buy all the Lysol. Spit all the Lysol. Then they come to find out what happened. Well, we realize it's really not contagious on surfaces like we thought. It don't really spread on surfaces like we thought it would. Now here, all the people done bought up all the Lysol. Spraying everything down. Daddy said that what they were doing on it. Spray so much Lysol, the Dyson machine got confused. Said, this ain't normal air. Something is wrong.
Yeah.
See? The lie.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
You're not going to have enough toilet paper. Buy up all the toilet paper. Mm-hmm. Can't buy no toilet paper nowhere. The lie. Right?
Yeah.
And who fall right for? We go right along with it.
Yeah.
Huh? We change our whole lifestyles.
Yeah.
Huh? Forgetting it's nothing but the blood that keeps you. That is the truth.
Yes.
That is what you've been taught from day one. It's nothing but the blood, right? Huh? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood don't need no help. Y'all understand that? It doesn't need any help. All it needs for you to do is do what? Trust Him. Lord, I believe in the power of your blood. That's the truth, isn't it? Come on, read me a little bit more. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Yes.
And says, men of our high degree, our lives to be laid in the balance.
Yes.
They're altogether lighter than vanity.
Huh?
Trust not in oppression.
Trust not in what? Isn't that what this thing is doing to the people's minds? Yeah. It's trying to make you feel oppressed.
Right.
Huh? Yeah. That oppression causes depression.
Yeah.
Huh? You ever wonder why the folk running on vacations? They running to just get away. Say, I got to get away. Why you got to get away? Because I'm depressed. I've been in the house all my life, all year long. I haven't gone anywhere, and I'm sick of being in here. Depressed, oppressed, huh? Isn't that sad? Trust. What is it? Trust not in oppression. Don't become vain in what? Keep going. Don't you set your heart to that.
No.
Huh?
That's right.
The government give you a stimulus? Mm-hmm. Don't set your heart on that.
No.
Huh? That's riches. All it is increasing. But the Lord said, don't you trust in uncertain riches. Huh? Put your trust in the living God, right?
Yes. Living God.
That's right. Huh? That's scripture. That's scripture.
Uh-huh.
Come on. Now, go. Keep reading a little bit more. I didn't even pay attention to verse number 11, but I think we need to hear this.
That God has spoken once.
Ain't that the word?
Yeah.
Come on. This is the Lord's word. He spoke how many times?
Once.
Huh? Keep going. How many times did you need to hear it? No. In other words, the Lord didn't say, I said it again. He said, I've only spoken how many times? In other words, there's only one good book we need. Huh? Now you need to keep on coming back and hearing what thus saith the Lord. Say, Lord, I didn't hear you first. The verse there, Lord said, listen to what I'm saying again, right? Huh? Listen to what I am saying again. Huh? Come, listen to what I'm saying again. The beautiful thing about Jesus, he don't change. He's saying the same thing he said the first time. It's just that you weren't listening, right? Lord said, I spoke once, and twice have I heard. What have I heard? Come on, say it like you know it. Huh? Say it like you believe it. Huh? All the power belongs to Jesus, right? See, in the Old Testament, they were calling him God. But in the New Testament, scripture say God highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above what? At the name of Jesus. All power belongs to Jesus, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Not some of it, all of it.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
That's why I can stand in confidence and stand before you doing every tarrying opportunity and tell you to call on his name.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
You say, Abba Scudder, you all been doing this down through the years.
Yes.
Huh? We've been telling folk, call on Jesus for years.
Right.
Ain't nobody coming through with the Holy Ghost. They ain't got nothing to do with what the word says. The word is already spoken once. You just ain't listening to it. So therefore, I got to say the same thing to you again. Same thing I said to you on Tuesday. I'm going to say it again on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. What you say on Tuesday? Call them by his name. Open up your mouth and call Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
What are you saying here, Elder Scudder? Open up my mouth and call Jesus. Telling you all the power.
Right.
Not some of it, all the power. Say, you want the Holy Ghost? All of the power.
Yes.
Y'all believe that?
Yes.
You want the Holy Ghost? All the power.
Yes.
It belongs to Jesus.
Yes.
You don't want no Holy Ghost come from no man.
Yes.
You want the Holy Ghost to come from above.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
That not of the earth, but it's from above.
Yes.
Ye shall be endued with power from on. You need power from on high, right?
Right.
Holy Ghost is power from on high. You need the same kind of power when that man. Y'all go over to really quick to the book of Mark. And I'm going to let y'all go. Mark chapter number 18. Mark chapter number 9. Verse number 18. This is when that man had that son that was a little off. And that man, he said, that man, my son is cutting himself, throwing himself into the fire. In other words, he's what you call today mentally ill. Call it for what it is. He is what our modern day psychologists call mentally ill. Saints of old used to say, that boy got a demon. Got an unclean spirit inside of him. See, the world side say it's mental disease. That's what they call it. They say, he's mentally ill. And we got to give him medication. We got to send him to all kind of help. Lord say, oh, no. This ain't no mental ill. This is nobody but the devil. The devil is trying to do a steal, kill. Can you see him? I see Satan. Satan is all in this boy. Satan is all in this boy. Anytime the young man is trying to kill himself, that ain't nobody but the devil. Devil is the only one that wants to kill you. What I tell y'all to go? Mark 9 and what? And 18, right? So read 18. What does it say? Now this is the man talking. Talking about his son. Keep going. Go ahead. Yes. Isn't that something? That's how some folk, you be down there calling Jesus, they get the foaming. Like mad dogs. You can't nobody say that that's Jesus working in them. No, there ain't no Jesus. That's some foul, unclean spirit. Don't want them to call on the name of Jesus. And we don't run away from them. I remember one time the devil got in one young man. We went running and grabbing and holding them, bringing them back to the bishop. Bishop said, what you bringing them back here to me for? Bleed the blood on the brother. We bleeding the blood all night. He tore my shirt, punched my dad in the stomach. We just working with him. And my mother John said, well, baby, they plead the blood all they can. Said, in other words, what are you bringing them to me for? Bishop said, I ain't got no special power. To make the devil come out of these folks. Only thing you can do is call Jesus. Call Jesus and do what? Wait. Get some strong brothers around. And do what? Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Satan, the Lord God, rebuke you. Somebody, I rebuke you, devil. Come on, the devil just look at you saying, you ain't got no power. You got to say, Satan, the Lord God. In other words, Jesus against you. Come on, who's against the devil? Jesus is. Jesus against you, Satan, right? Satan, the Lord God, rebuke you. The blood of Jesus prevail against you. And the only thing you can do is just keep on calling Jesus until that unclean spirit. I'm trying to tell you, you can't do this by your power. You need the Lord to work on your behalf, right? That's why when you ain't where you need to be at, you need to stay away from that. Right. I ain't strong. Like, well, you need to go somewhere and pray. You don't work with nobody until you get your soul where you need to be at. That's the truth. Because these folk got some stuff inside them. And all saints need to help them. Saints need to help them and realize that it ain't them. It's not you. You don't want to be like 18. What is like this man said, I brought him to your disciples. Isn't that sad? These folk out here got all kind of problems in sin. And the last thing I want to hear as your pastor is somebody brought them to you. And you couldn't help him. That was the man said, I brought them to your disciples, Jesus. Come on, you read it. Yeah. 18, what is that?
And whithersoever he taketh them, he tear them. He foameth and gnasheth with his teeth.
Yep.
Kind of the way. And I spake to thy disciples.
Yeah, I taught brought them.
They should cast them out.
And what was the problem? They couldn't do it. That devil felt comfortable being around the people that were following Jesus. Man, we in the world of trouble, aren't we? See, we too carnal. We too fleshly thinking.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We can't get caught up in this thing that is in the land right now. What is in the land? Apostasy. Apostasy is people falling away from the faith. Huh? Even though we may be small in number, we still have to be bold in the name of Jesus. Huh? I mean, be strong in that name. Huh? That's the truth, saints. We got to be so strong when folk don't want to call Jesus. You realize you can't make them call him. You get on your own knees and call out to the Lord for yourself. Say, Lord, make that devil release his hold, Jesus. Make that devil release his hold. That's the truth. Read, what did I say? The next one. I don't want to go through all of them. That's 18. Jump over to verse number 27.
But Jesus took him by the hand.
Ain't that something? Mm-hmm. That's all I want the Lord to do. I just want Jesus to just grab hold.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Sometimes
yes.
You want the Lord just to grab hold of the mind.
Yes.
Huh? Yes. Sometimes you be praying. I be praying, Lord Jesus, touch the mind. Oh, yes. It seems like it don't seem like it's working. The next thing you need to do is to say, Lord, you grab hold of them.
Yes.
Huh? Yes. Y'all realize that the Lord touched these folk, they won't be the same.
Yes.
Huh? Just grab hold of them, man. Just come by and just let them feel your presence. While we in the service, just let them feel your presence. Just like, the, you know how, if I ran past these flowers, see what happened? Huh? I ain't touched the flowers. They just felt my presence. Huh? That's why I say, sometimes everybody gonna have their mind on Jesus. But saints, we gotta be so convicted that the power is in the name, that regardless of whether these folk got a mind or not, I want them to feel the presence of the Lord. Huh? I want them to feel the presence of Jesus. I can't save them. You can't save them. But I know how to usher Jesus in here. I know how to call on his name. Huh? To make it so that his presence will come in our midst. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Ha! Ha! That's the truth. You got to call him so that his presence comes in you. Y'all don't understand that? Sometimes we be in praise service and y'all just get so, just like y'all did today. We said, what's his name? Jesus. See, did somebody come through with the Holy Ghost? No. They didn't receive the Holy Ghost. But I wanted them to feel the presence of the Lord. So much so that it gives them an appetite. Ha! Say, what did you feel? Huh? Now, what did you feel that? You go up and say, did you feel that? Yeah, I felt it. Don't you want some more of that? Huh? You got to go by and just blow on that little fire. You say, did you feel that? Don't you want to feel some more of that? Huh? It's true. Y'all ain't never worked on no grill? And the grill, the fire burn out real quick. But you know them coals ain't hot. Cause them coals just as black as they was before you started the fire. Fire was hot, but the coals ain't got hot. But you said that you blowing. He said, get them coals a little bit of air. And them coals get a little air, and then you see something spark up under there. You don't see no fire, but you see something sparking. Then all of a sudden you notice them coals, they start getting white all on the edge. You say, oh, the fire's hot now.
Yeah.
Huh? You put your hand on top. You say, oh, yeah, I feel it. It's hot, good and hot. Now. That's how we do. Those that got the Holy Ghost, that's what you call Jesus for.
Yeah.
You call him Jesus to blow some air. Huh?
Yeah.
Some Jesus air. Into the environment. Huh? And you just be looking around saying, who going to catch hold of this fire?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
You just want the Lord's presence to come in your midst, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Jesus.
One of these days, it's going to catch.
Yes.
Huh? And I'm just praying I'll be right there with the catch. Huh? Oh, yeah, when that fire starts burning, I want to be right there with the catch. Huh? Come on, read me a little bit more. Read me a little bit more. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let y'all go. I'm going to let you go. Yes. 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 Yes.
And when he was Isn't that something?
That's your problem right there. You tried to do it. Huh? You say, oh, this cutting. If you read the text, they didn't say, Lord, we used your name to do this.
Nope.
They said, why couldn't we do it? And I'm trying to tell you, you can't do nothing. Without the Lord, you cannot do nothing. Huh? So, mother, you go over to get John 15 and 5 and confirm that with me. And then someone get Acts 3 and 12, and I'm done. I'm going to close up my book. They asked, why couldn't we do it? I'm not done in 28. He said, why couldn't we do it? They came to the Lord privately. You did it in public. Go on and go ask the Lord in public. Huh? Then I'm sure they was thinking they was doing something around that young man. Trying to bring them old demons out. Huh? And it wasn't working. Huh? Wasn't working. And they said, why, Lord, privately now? Why couldn't we do it? Is that what the verse say?
Uh-huh.
Why couldn't we do it?
Yes, why could not we cast them out? And he said unto them, this kind.
Uh-huh. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Why would the Lord say, fast first? Uh-huh. What does fasting do? It gets you out of yourself.
Right.
And what do you notice folk don't want to do? They don't want to fast. They don't want to fast. You hear all kind of excuses. It's fasting day. Well, my doctor told me I got to take my medicine first. You don't even, go right on. Take all the medicine you got to take. Huh? Your carnal self. Huh? But if I don't take my medicine in the morning, my body ain't going to be right the rest of the day. Well, take your medicine in the morning. This word ain't for you. Huh? This word, you got to approach it in what? Faith. Huh? What you mean I got approaching the faith? Well, fasting say no food, no drink. Huh? Fasting, no food, no drink. But I can eat a half of a sandwich with my man. No food, no drink. Huh? But you don't understand, my blood pressure is going to go up. No food, no drink. My sugar's gonna fall. No food. No drink. Huh?
Jesus, help me.
They don't like that. They don't like that kind of word. That word don't fit in with my carnal ways. Huh? Oh, yeah. Huh? One writer said so much so, don't let it touch your tongue. Huh? That was Jonah, I think, told y'all. Don't let anything touch your tongue, right? So you can't even put them Listerine strips. So I want my breath to be fresh. No food. No drink. Huh? But I got to go to work. Well, maybe they're going to smell my breath. Maybe you'll learn to keep your mouth shut. Maybe that day you won't do so much talking. Huh? But I got to conduct a meeting. Well, say what you have to say and move. Huh? You've been in front of somebody whose breath was bad? Huh? Did they have shame? They said what they had to say and they kept it right on moving. But they ain't gonna look at me the same. Fasting is not about you. Huh? See, you're getting out of yourself. I ain't mean to get into all of that. But I'm just trying to help you.
Thank you.
Fast.
Thank you.
And what? Pray.
Fasting.
Talk to Jesus.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, you mean to tell me I'm going to be talking to the Lord? Talk to Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, I got to go to the store. I got to go run. Talk to Jesus.
Right.
You be in the grocery store. Talk to the Lord.
Yes.
Walk down the aisles. Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
If I don't do that, I'm gonna forget that. Well, you don't need it.
Right.
Keep your mind on Jesus.
Right.
Well, if I'm at home, the children are doing this. Go walk around the block.
Mm-hmm.
I walked around the block once. Walk around it all day long. People gonna think something is wrong with me. Don't you worry about what they think. You trying to keep your mind on Jesus. Fast and pray. You got to do what? The Lord says some things come forth no other kind of way. But doing what? Doing what? Fasting? Huh? That's true. You got to fast. You got to pray. Enemy attacked my son's mind. Y'all remember? Doctors tried to say he had this issue and that issue. Huh? And then we said we're going to try him on the medicine. I mean, we put that medicine on him one day. My wife turned around and looked. He was back there reading a book. He ain't paid one penny to nothing. My wife, she started crying. She said, "What's wrong with my baby?" Just sitting there reading. My wife said, "Oh, no, 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 no. We don't need this." Huh? Oh, but y'all need to put him on something. No, 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 no. All we need to do is fast.
Hey, thank you.
And pray. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. The Lord just took that whole thing and shifted it all around. Instead of people calling us saying something is wrong, they started calling us saying, "Well, we just want to recognize him for this. Uh-huh. We want to recognize him for that." Uh-huh. I'm saying, look at Jesus. Right. Right. Look at the power of the Lord. Huh? Look at the power of the Lord. No medicine. Huh? No medicine. Oh, he got something. Don't say, "Oh, yeah, he's on the spectrum of autism." That's what you say. I know the power of the Lord. Then the Lord just come on by and fill him with the Holy Ghost. Now let me say, whoa. Huh? You mean to tell me the world could say you autistic? And Jesus say, "You just right for the Holy Ghost?" Huh? Isn't that something? I'm just trying to tell you what the power of the Lord is able to do. Some things come forth no other way but through what? Fasting? As if you want to see the Lord work, right? What are the other scriptures I gave you? I'm not just go. Acts. What did I give you? John chapter number 15. And then I gave you Acts chapter number 3. And I'm done. 15 and 5. That's your favorite one, isn't it, mother? 15 and 5. What does it say there? Well, who is Jesus? Huh?
We are the bread.
Oh. Isn't that something? Jesus is the vine. And I am his branch. Huh? Isn't that something? Now, next time you turn on the news and they tell you how bad stuff is, that's when you got to look at that news report and say, "Oh, Jesus is the vine. And I am his branch." Huh? Isn't that something? Huh? You go to the doctor's office. Doctor, give you this report. This don't look right. That don't look right. I think we got to do this today. Jesus is the vine. And I am his branch, right? Next one, read a little bit more.
He that abideth in me.
Uh-huh. And that Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Holy Ghost is Christ in you.
Yes.
So you can't even call yourself a branch if you ain't got no Holy Ghost inside of you. Yes. See, that's all a reason for you to want the Holy Ghost. Yes. Say, I'm tarrying, yeah, but you ought to want the Holy Ghost. Yes. Let the Lord know, Jesus, I want to be your branch, right? Yes. I want to be hooked up to you, right? Yes. Huh? What that book said? Read that verse again. Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branch." Huh? He that abideth in me, and I, that let me know you could talk all day long about how much you are in Jesus, but the question is Jesus in you? Huh? Jesus told you, "I know my sheep." Yeah. Folks do that all day long. Somebody, I got Jesus. But is Jesus in you?
Right.
Is Jesus in you?
Right.
Sometimes folk had him, but he gone. I mean, they don't even know he gone. They don't even know he gone.
Right.
They move because they feel his presence. They move because they feel his presence.
But he ain't in there. When he in there, he interrupts the leaves from the ground up. It's a root effect. Huh? Holy Ghost inside of you is a root effect. Huh? Oh yeah, that's the truth. It happened down on the inside. See, folk quicken, you seeing it on the outside, but it got to be something that originated from down on the inside. Huh? It's got to, it has to have an origin. Huh? And the origin has to be where? In you. Huh? Is that what the book says? He that abideth in me and I.
In him.
Huh? What did Jesus say? Y'all understand this? That should help you make sense with what the disciples' error was. See, their error was what they said. Why couldn't we cast him? And Jesus said, without me, you can't do nothing. Acts chapter number 3 and verse number 18. That's the last one.
Is that 3 and 18?
I want the verse where it says, why are you looking at me as though we have done this thing? That's in Acts. 3 and is that 3 and 12? Yes. Uh-huh. Why marvel ye at this? Uh-huh. Yeah. We done this thing. Isn't that something? Keep going. Now, that's a good thing. That's something. You know who Jesus is. Jesus is the God of who? Abraham. He is the God of Isaac. Of Jacob. The God of our fathers. In other words, God came down in the flesh. Just like the children of partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise took part of the same. Why did he come in the flesh? That through death he can destroy him. That had the what? The power of death. Huh? All of our lifetimes, we were subject unto that bondage. But now that you got the Holy Ghost, scripture tell you to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And don't go back and get entangled in that yoke of what? Keep going.
What did they
do to Jesus? They denied him. Isn't that something? Didn't I tell y'all that before? The Lord took an unbeliever and made a believer out of him. Pilate was a believer. Pilate said, I find in him what? No fault. Keep going. Well, who did they choose? Jesus, I'm a set before you this day. Two choices, life and death. Blessing and cursing. He told them to choose life, right?
Yes, he did.
And when Pilate set before them, Jesus, huh? Who they could find no fault. And they put on the other side, Barabbas, who was a known murderer, a thief. They said, give us Barabbas and let Jesus be crucified. Pilate said, what in the world are y'all doing? Are y'all sure y'all wanted this? Scripture said that they cried out the more. We're living in that kind of world right now, saints. If you listen just clear. People are saying, give us Barabbas and let's reject Jesus. Huh? I told you all, if you listen, pay attention. You pay attention to what they did even from the very beginning with this virus. Do you realize they categorized the church in the most dangerous position to be in? They said the church was equivalent to a concert or like a casino. It was the most dangerous place for people to be in. Here recently, there was a report in Alabama where the man said, do not go to church and sing because it is too dangerous. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And people just take it all in. I know some folk got mad at me here one time before. Say, I can't go to church. But then I put that image on there. Say, I can't come to church tonight. It's too dangerous. Well, where are you on your way to? I'm going to Walmart. I got to buy groceries. The Lord know I have to have something to eat. We're off. We're off. Our logic is off. You don't let man categorize the Lord's church. The church is the most safest place that you and I will ever step foot in. Y'all understand that? The church is more safer than a hospital. Isn't that something? And we don't have a doctor on call. It's more safer than the police station. And we don't have armed guards at the door. Well, what do you have? Nothing but Jesus. Nothing but Jesus. Remember, the Lord said that without me, you can't do what? Nothing. Cannot do anything without the Lord. Did you finish that? I'm done.
And saying, kill the prince of life whom God has raised from the dead.
Yeah.
Where are
That's how you know Jesus got himself out of the grave. He said, you destroy this body or this temple, and in 3 days, I'll do what? Get it back up. But you just read there in your scripture, said God raised him up. But that lets you know Jesus Christ is God. Huh? Acts chapter number 2 says that when they heard that they had rejected both Lord and Christ, they asked within these brothers, said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter gave them the key. He told them to do what? Repent. That means stop all of your known wrong. Turn away from that life. Start doing what is right. And be what? Be baptized. Every one of you, how? In the name of Jesus Christ. For what reason? To show the world you believe? No. For the remission or for the removal of your sin. And you shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. How do you get the Holy Ghost, Elder Scudder? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Lord gave us the key to prayer when he says, anything that you ask out of heaven, you must use my name. Right? Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, be persistent, and the door shall be what? Open to you. All right? Church, y'all got something out the word. Do not devalue believing Jesus, saints. You want to receive something from the Lord, you've got to believe it. You've got to believe what the Lord has said in his word. Say, Elder Scott, I just can't see it. That's when you have to know you must approach the Lord in faith. You will not be able to see everything, but you must take Jesus at his word. Huh? Realize he has spoken how many times? Sometimes you got to go back to it and see what did he say. He's not going to change what he said. He's going to repeat the same thing. How many times did I hear it?
Twice.
Huh? Twice have I heard it. Not some power. Not some. All the power belongs to the Lord. You need a way out of it? No way. Jesus is the way to do it. You need the Lord to touch your body? Jesus is the one to touch it. You need the Lord to provide for you? He is a provider. Need the Lord to heal your body? He is a healer. Huh? Well, Scott, I'm on all this mental medication. He is a mind regulator. I got a condition the world said is no cure for. Ask the woman that touched the hem of his garment. Huh? She spent all of her money on doctors. But all she did is reach out and touch his hem. In faith, right? Lord says, somebody touched me, right? Huh? All these people bumming up against you, Jesus? No. He said, I felt some power go out of me. Huh? If I could just get somebody to touch the Lord like that. Huh? We can just get the people just to touch the Lord. Use the name. Just like that. And see the Lord work on your behalf. All right? Trust you got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against.